Good morning, everyone. Are you guys excited to be here? Only one person. She was just baptized. You see what happens? Well, today we have a very windy day. Do you guys like windy days? Some people like windy days, some people don't like windy days. You know, it really depends on your personality, right? Some people, you know, we like everything to be in perfect order. And then the wind comes and messes up our yard and everything. We have all kinds of challenges the next day. So these people are very annoyed by the wind. Other people are looking for adventure. I remember when I was a little boy and the wind would come, me and my brothers would be so excited. We would go find the highest tree we could find in the yard or the neighborhood. We would climb that tree. It was like a free roller coaster, you know, we would get blown around. It's a good thing my mom never knew about this. Because every time the wind would blow, she would lock us in the house, I'm sure. But by God's grace, we were kept safe. And today I want to talk to you about the importance of mothers and fathers. The importance of all of us praying for one another. When I was in college, I was probably around 19 years old. In fact, I was because it was the day before my 20th birthday. And I was driving down the freeway with my brother. We were coming back from college. And my brother was a new driver. He was just learning how to drive. Now, just a quick lesson. How many of you guys know what to do if your tire blows out? I tell you what you're not supposed to do. Do not press the brakes. Because if you slam on the brakes, you will start to do what we did on the freeway. You will start to spin. So we were in the far right lane, and we had the blowout, and we began to spin.
Uh, 360 degrees,
we're spinning on the freeway like this. And you know, the freeways here are very fast, right? Zoom, zoom, cars. So we went from this lane and we went all the way across the freeway and we hit the center divider. Smacks. The car flipped around, we were facing the other direction. And somehow, by the miracle of God, we were perfectly in the emergency lane facing the other direction. And cars are whizzing by us. Zoom, zoom. And my eyes were wide open like this. And I realized my hand was on my brother's arm. I didn't remember doing that. And we were in shock. Policeman came a little while later. He stopped the whole freeway. Have you ever seen this? He stopped the whole freeway. The whole freeway was stopped behind us, like hundreds of cars. It was one of the most amazing things I ever seen. The whole freeway stopped for us. And we went to the other side, and the tow truck came and fixed our tire, and then we went home. And when we got home, we said, "Mom, do you know what happened?" I said, "We almost died." She said, "I know." She said, "The Lord told me that you guys were in trouble." I was washing the dishes, and God told me to stop and pray for you guys. I didn't know exactly what was happening, but I knew something was going on. And I prayed for you guys. And then I realized all those times we were climbing those trees as little boys in the wind. All those times we were trying to climb mountains and do crazy things. The reason why we are still alive is because of this wonderful person. Whom God had given to us to raise us and to pray for us. And that is what we're going to talk about today, about being priests. The verse that we read says that you, all of you, are a royal priesthood. If you are in Christ, the Bible says you are a priest. So we're going to talk a little bit today about what does it mean to be a priest. How many of you have ever met a priest, someone who says, you know, I'm a priest, maybe they have, you know, robes, and I don't know, maybe some special place where they live in a monastery. I don't know. Have you ever met a priest? Maybe you have, maybe not. I suppose in China today, probably, you know, they don't have many priests. Maybe in the past, I don't know. But a priest is someone who has a special calling to do something very important. A priest is someone who is standing in between. They are standing in the middle between God and a person. The priest is someone representing this person before God. Originally, God's plan for his people was that all of them were to be priests. This phrase that we are talking about, the priesthood, it comes from the Old Testament. And God said to his people in Exodus, he said, "You will be for me a kingdom of priests." God wanted his people to be priests to the whole world.
神希望他的子民在全世界全球都做他的祭司。
But if you remember the story, it was because of disobedience.
所以如果你记得这个旧约里的故事呢，你就会知道说这是因为他们不顺服。
That God chose one tribe and he said, you are going to be the priests.
上帝呢就拣选了一个族类，对他们说，你们要做祭司。
These were the Levites.
就是利未人。
But originally, God wanted all of his people to be priests.
其实神最开始的旨意是希望每一个人，所有的人都可以做祭司的。
So in Christ, in Jesus, God's original intent is restored.
所以在神的最原始的计划里，神希望将所有的一切都恢复，都更新。
Everything that we see in Christ is restoration.
在我们生命当中，在基督里，每一件事情都要将被恢复，被更新。
God is restoring his plan and his purpose.
上帝就在其中做一个恢复和更新的计划。
And that's why this verse in 1 Peter is so important.
所以为什么在彼得前书这段经文是非常重要的。
Because what God is saying is that my plan is being restored.
是因为神在说我最开始的计划将要被恢复了。
And it's saying that everyone who is in Christ is a priest.
所以每一个人在基督里面都可以做祭司。
So, now that you know you are a priest,
所以你们知道你们每一个人都是祭司了。
I'm going to train you how to be priest. Would you like that?
我想给大家一些培训，告诉大家怎么样做祭司，你们喜欢吗？
You know, priests have to undergo a lot of training.
做一个祭司呢，是需要有很多的训练。
In fact, if you want to be a priest, for example, in the Roman Catholic Church,
如果你想要在一个罗马天主教会做一个祭司呢，
you have to undergo 8 years of training.
你要参加一个八年的训练。
So there's a lot you have to learn.
很多东西要学习。
But today I'm going to teach you the most important part about being a priest.
我们今天想要跟大家分享的就是最重要的，做一个祭司最重要的核心的部分。
Which is about praying for one another.
那就是为彼此祷告代祷。
And specifically, we're going to talk about a type of prayer we call intercession. I hope you have a Chinese word for intercession.
我们今天就是要跟大家分享的一个词，就是英文叫 intercession， 翻译过来就是代祷，彼此代祷。
There are many types of prayer, many types.
祷告呢，其实有很多种形式。
For example, when we are about to eat our food, we give thanks.
我们在谢饭做吃饭之前会有谢饭的祷告。
It's a prayer of thanksgiving.
那就是一个感恩的祷告。
But intercession is different.
但是代祷是不一样的。
When we're interceding, we're not praying for ourselves.
我们在代祷的时候，我们并不是为自己祷告。
We are representing someone else before God.
我们是为我们在祷告的人。
And I would like to give you an example of an intercessor. From the book of Colossians. And the name of this intercessor is Epaphras.
Epaphras, how to translate? 以巴弗 Yeah.
Uh-huh.
就是这个人，他叫以巴弗。
So, it says Epaphras, who is one of you.
他就是我们当中的一位。
And a servant of Christ Jesus.
一个神的仆人。
Sends greetings.
就向大家问安。
He is always wrestling in prayer for you.
他就是一直都在像这种摔跤的形式在为大家祷告。
That you may stand firm in all the will of God.
那他祷告的内容呢，就是我们可以为主站立的稳。
Mature and fully assured.
在神国里面变得更成熟和更加的完全。
I vouch for him. I can speak on for him.
我就是代他，就是为代他去。
That he is working hard for you.
他是为了大家恳切代祷。
And for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. These are two cities, Laodicea and Hierapolis.
他是为这两个城市祷告。
Now this is an amazing description. This is an amazing description.
这是一个非常特别的经文。
Because Epaphras is in prison.
所以以巴弗呢，当时他是在监狱里。
Epaphras is in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus.
他在监狱里呢，是向当时在监狱里的人讲道传福音。
And he is in prison with the Apostle Paul.
他当时在监狱里的也是跟使徒保罗在一起的。
He was sent by the church in Colossae to take care of Paul.
他是被 Colossae 的 church， 就是教会带。跟随保罗的。
And somehow something happened and he ended up in prison with Paul.
所以有一些事情发生，所以他就跟保罗同时在监里。
So you can imagine what it will be like to be in a prison in those days.
我们可以想象在当时被下在监里是一种什么样的感受。
We were in Rome, maybe last year we went to Rome.
去年的时候我有机会去了一趟罗马。
And we visited some of the places where they kept the prisoners, the Christians.
我们也去探访到了一些就是曾经去关押基督徒的监狱。
The places are very dark.
那些地方都是非常暗，非常黑暗。
No light.
没有光亮。
It's just rock, stone.
都是石头，大的石头。
Not very high.
不是很高。
Not very big.
也不是很大。
Very gloomy places, very terrible places.
就是很昏暗，很就是不是很好的地方。
It is cold and damp.
也很阴暗潮湿。
And yet, here we find this man Epaphras, and in that situation, Paul says he's working hard.
但是在那个情况下呢，保罗说这个人他非常的努力。
He's doing a mighty work for God.
他在做神的圣工。
But he's in this place.
但是他是在这样的一个地方做这些事情。
Now, if you look at history,
所以我们当我们去看历史的时候
，of Christianity，
在基督信仰里面
，you will find these people called monks.Like you have Buddhist monks.
我们就会看到在圣经里面会有一些我们佛教叫僧侣嘛，但是基督教就叫圣徒。神父 monk.
Yeah, for example, I am Armenian.
就给大家举个例子，我是亚美尼亚人。
And I was just in Armenia.
我前段时间刚去了亚美尼亚。
And we visited the first monastery in Armenia. Monastery is a place where the monks live.
所以我们有机会去到了一个修道院。
And in this place is a mountain behind the monastery.
所以这个修道院呢是在群山之中的。
The monastery is built into the mountain.
它把这个修道院呢是依山而建的。
And in the sides of the mountain, the monks, they carved these caves, they made caves.
这是依山而建的时候，他们就在这个山上凿出了洞。
And these caves are not very big.
这些洞呢并没有很大。
And the monks would go up into these caves to pray.
这些修道士呢就会进到这些，就是爬上这些洞里面，然后去祷告。
To spend time with God.
然后花时间跟上帝在一起。
And so, when you look at these monks who went to those places because they wanted to be with God,
所以我们就会知道说这些修道士呢，他们会上山，然后去到这些洞里，是因为他们想跟上帝花时间在一起。
They live very simply.
他们过非常简单简朴的生活。
They just had one simple clothes to wear.
他们就是一件衣服穿很久。
They ate very little.
吃的很少。
They were staying in a very small place.
住的地方呢也非常的狭小狭窄。
When you compare that to the prison, it looks like the same.
当 我去把这个修道士过的这些山洞和那当时以巴弗的监狱的时候，其实他们很像，有很多的相似性。
So what is my point?
所以我的点在哪里？
Where you are all depends on your perspective.
我们现在在哪里，全取决于我们的一个观点。
One person's prison is another person's monastery.
一个人的监狱可能就是另外一个人的修道院。
So it all depends on how you think.
全取决于我们是如何来看待。
So for the Apostle Paul and for Epaphras, they saw their prison much differently than the other prisoners.
所以对使徒保罗和以巴弗来说呢，他们看待他们的监狱和其他监狱里的人是不一样的。
What were they thinking in the prison?
他们在监狱里在想什么呢？
They were thinking, what a great opportunity we have.
他们在想的是，我们在这里有一个多么好的，多么了不起的机会。
An opportunity to pray.
一个非常好的时机是可以来祷告。
An opportunity to know God more.
一个很好的时机是可以更多认识神的。
You remember another example when the Apostle Paul was in jail.
还有另外一个例子，同样也是使徒保罗在监里的时候。
He was locked up with brother Silas.
他与另外一个弟兄被关在监狱里。
And what do we find them doing in that place?
在那里我们看到他们在做什么呢？
In the middle of the night, they are praising God.
在午夜的时候，他们在赞美神。
They are filling the whole prison with the praises of God.
他们将整个监狱里充满了赞美神的声音。
And what happens? A great earthquake comes.
发生了什么呢？一个大的地震动。
And the jailer gives his life to the Lord.
这个监狱长将他的生命给了神。
In fact, the Apostle Paul's worship and praising was so powerful.
事实上，就是使徒保罗的敬拜赞美是如此的有力量。
It says none of the other prisoners ran away.
没有任何一个其他就是关在监里的人逃跑，在那个时候。
The jailer was about to commit suicide. He was about to kill himself.
The jailer.
Yeah.
就是那个监狱长，他是当时差点就是要杀掉他自己的。
Paul said, "Don't do it. We are all here."
因为有地震，可能这个监狱开了，他担心大家都跑掉了。保罗就跟他说，不要担心，我们还在这里。
So prayer is something that God made us for.
所以祷告是神造我们的时候就为我们预备的，很重要。
Prayer is something that is the most powerful thing we can engage in.
祷告是我们生命当中可以连接的非常有力的事。
But very often we don't pray.
但是很经常我们不太祷告。
Because we don't understand this.
因为我们不了解，不理解。
What don't we understand?
我们不了解，不理解什么呢？
We don't understand that God designed prayer.
我们不了解上帝造了祷告。
For a very special purpose.
是为着一个特别的目的。
God made us so that we will be dependent on one another.
上帝创造我们的时候，不是让我们去特立独行的，是让我们可以彼此依赖，彼此扶持的。
If you have a very independent spirit, you will not understand this concept.
如果你的个性本身都是相当独立的话呢，你可能很难去了解理解这件事。
If your mindset is I'm going to do it myself.
如果你的思想逻辑呢是说我所有的事儿我都可以靠我自己做。
I don't need anybody.
我不需要任何其他人。
I'm going to become a rich man.
我将成为一个最富有的人。
Strong man.
最强壮的人。
I don't need anybody.
我不需要其他任何人。
You will not understand Christianity.
你将不会真正了解基督信仰。
You will not understand God.
你将不会真正了解神。
You will not understand the church.
你将不会真正了解教会。
Because God designed everything to make us interdependent.
因为上帝创造这世上的万有是让我们彼此相扶持和相爱。
How many of you are glad that you have weaknesses? You say, I'm so glad I have a weakness.
有多少人是很喜欢欣赏我们自己有弱点的？
I'm so glad there are things I'm not good at. You know, you can thank God for your weaknesses. Because it means that God wants to bring someone in your life who has that strength that you don't have. In fact, if you look at the most successful companies in the world, they always involve a team. You will never find a CEO, founder, who has everything the company needs. And you can easily look at a company where the CEO is trying to do everything and you can say the company will not succeed. The same is true in the church, the same is true in your life. God designed us to need one another. Now, this is very important to understand when it comes to prayer. Because if people are not praying for you, and if you are not praying for others, you cannot effectively live the Christian life. God decided to design the world. And to design His church so that we are dependent upon one another. You notice here in this description, it says that He is wrestling in prayer. Wrestling. When you think of wrestling, what do you think about? We have the sport of wrestling today. And it's a very nice sport, you know, you get to, you know, you have to try and pin the person to the ground and then the referee says, okay, you win. Not so in Roman days. The wrestling in those days was life and death. The word for wrestling here is agonizo, means agonizing. What we say agonizing in the English language comes from this Greek word, agonizo. It's the Greek word is agonizo. And this word refers to the gladiators. Gladiators are the ones. Have you seen the movie Gladiator? Yeah. Yeah. Two people walk in. Only one walks out. This is the word that the Bible is using to describe prayer. What is the point? The point is that the way that we pray for people actually makes a difference. Sometimes you will be praying for someone and you will begin to cry for that person. On my way here, driving here, I was praying for my cousin. And I really felt the compassion of God in my heart for my cousin. I could feel the tears starting to form in my eyes as I was praying. I said, oh no, Lord, why are you doing this? I have to preach in 10 minutes, you know.
所以我就问上帝说，为什么你要让我这样做？因为我马上就要上台讲道了。
And then the Lord reminded me, yeah, but you are preaching and prayer, so, you know.
所以上帝提醒他说，对啊，你今天不就是为了要讲代祷这件事吗？
Practice what you preach.
去操练你要祷讲道的内容。
And this will happen sometimes. You will be driving or you will be walking and suddenly the Lord will bring to your mind someone to pray for that person. And the question is, does it matter? Does it make a difference if we pray or we don't pray? This verse is telling us it matters.
这段经文告诉我们说真的有关系。
It says he's always wrestling in prayer for you. Why?
他说的是为一直像一个摔跤似的祷告，为什么？
That you may stand firm in all the will of God.
是因为你会因此在神面前站立的稳。
Do you think it was necessary that Epaphras pray for these people in order for them to stand firm in the will of God?Yeah, it's a long sentence. Do you think it was necessary for Epaphras to pray in order that they might stand firm in God's will?
你们认为当以巴弗为他们祷告说要为神站立的稳的时候，真的会有关系吗？
Was Epaphras wasting his time?
以巴弗在浪费他的时间吗？
I will submit to you that God caused Epaphras to be in prison.
我要跟大家说的是，上帝定义要让以巴弗进到监狱里。
For the very purpose of teaching us this lesson.
是为了一个目的，这个目的就是教会我们要怎样去祷告。
For the very purpose of showing us 2,000 years later the importance of prayer.
是为了也为2000多年之后的我们做出一个榜样，教会我们怎么样去祷告。
And what kind of prayer is important?
什么样的祷告是重要的?
To help us to understand that prayer is hard work.
让我们了解到代祷是一个要花代价的工作。
It's not easy.
不是一个容易的工作。
Prayer requires discipline.
代祷是要求我们要有纪律。
It requires sacrifice of your time.
也要我们有牺牲，包括牺牲我们的时间。
Of your energy, of your emotion.
也包括我们的精力，我们的情感，我们都需要花代价。
And it makes a difference.
但它会带来改变。
And you notice, Paul says he's praying for you and for two other cities.
所以我们看到，保罗在那时为他祷告，也为另外的两个城市祷告。
He's praying for the church in Laodicea and Hierapolis.
也为这两个城市的教会祷告。
This is what I call a prayer assignment.
这是我会称它为代祷的任务。
God gave Epaphras these three churches to pray for.
上帝给了以巴弗这三个教会，是他可以用未来用来他是他可以要代祷。
They were his assignment.
这是他的任务。
And I will submit to you that everyone here has a prayer assignment.
所以我就会鼓励挑战大家每一个我们在座的每一个人有一个代祷的任务。
God has given you the assignment to pray for your family.
上帝给了我们代祷的任务是为我们的家庭祷告。
To pray for your friends.
为我们的朋友祷告。
And maybe even something bigger than that.
或许是为比这些更大的为此而代祷。
To pray for your church.
为我们的教会祷告。
Are you praying for your church?
我们为我们的教会祷告吗?
I hope so.
我希望是这样。
Because God has brought you here for a special reason.
因为上帝带我们来到这里有一个特别的原因。
Many times we think church is something that I will get something from church.
很多时候我们来到教会是觉得说我们可能从教会能得到一些东西。
Yes, that's true. God will bless you.
是的，上帝会借着这些来祝福我们。
You will learn a lot.
我们会学习到很多。
But it's not just about you getting things.
但是我们来到教会能得到一些，并不是上帝让我们来到教会的最终极的目的。
God brought you here Because he wants to bless other people through you.
上帝把你带到这里是希望借着你也能祝福到其他的人。
There is something you have that this church needs.
你身上有一些特别的东西是这个教会需要的。
That's why you're here.
那是为什么你会在这里？
God is like a coach building his team.
上帝呢，就像一个团队的教练在建立他的团队。
I love to watch basketball.
我喜欢看篮球比赛。
And yesterday I was watching two teams play basketball.
昨天看两个队两个篮球队在打比赛。
A basketball team has 15 players.
一个篮球队里有15个队员。
Each one is different.
每一个人都不一样。
Each one has a little special skill that the other doesn't have.
每一个人都有他自己擅长的东西，其他人并不擅长。
And the really great teams, the winning teams.
但是最成绩最好的团队呢，就是会赢的团队呢。
Are the ones where they have the perfect mix of talent working together.
是他们这个团队呢，是有很大的一个多样性，他们彼此可以协作的很好。
Each one supporting the other.
每一个人都支持另外一个，彼此支持。
Different talents, but in harmony together.
他们每一个人都有不同擅长的部分，但是他们协作的非常和谐。
You have some teams that have very talented people, but they don't work together.
我们也会见到有些团队，他们有非常多的有特长的人，但是他们并不能够有效和和谐的协作。
Those teams will always lose.
他们永远都是会在输比分。
They always lose, and they will lose even to teams that have less talent.
他们甚至会输给那些在个人强项上不如他们的团队。
A team working together will always defeat a team that doesn't work together.
在一起团结协作的团队永远都会打败那些不能够有效协作的团队。
The same is true with a church.
对于教会来说也是一样的。
A church is a team.
教会是一个团队。
Assembled by God.
由神来设立。
You are here today because God wants you to be part of a team.
我们今天之所以在这里是因为上帝希望我们成为这团队当中的一员。
And the message the coach wants to tell you,
我们的教练希望告诉我们的是,
the message that God wants to tell you,
神希望告诉我们的是,
is your team needs you.
是我这个团队需要你, 需要你们每一位。
And the first thing you can begin to do for your team,
我们为我们这个团队可以做的第一件事就是,
is what?
是什么?
Is anyone listening? Pray. Yes, everyone is listening. Good. Pray. You have to learn to pray for your team. Now, maybe you're not used to praying for other people. Maybe you are not yet at the place where Epaphras is. Maybe if you were locked in prison, you would be very unhappy. Maybe you would be rattling the bars, let me out! But you know, through the power of God, anyone can become like Paul and like Epaphras. Because it's all about your perspective. So you might say, I look at my life and I say, where will I have time? You've probably heard this saying before, a very important saying. You will always have time for what is important to you. I will say it again. You will always have time for what is important to you. The reason we say, I don't have time to pray, is because we don't understand that prayer is important. We need to have our eyes open.
我们需要, 我们的眼睛需要被打开。
And what I tell people to do is very simple. I say, try it out. Because it's something you have to experience. It's like with the basketball team. The coach can give all kinds of great plays. And, and he can give all kinds of great speeches and words about the importance of this or that. But until the team goes out there and practices, it doesn't become part of who they are. So I have an encouragement for you. If you have not already done this, you set aside a time every day for prayer. And you make it like an appointment. How many of you guys are late to appointments? Like I was late today to church, you know? You say, I love to be late to appointments. It's so fun to be late to appointments. Nobody thinks that way. But when it comes to God, somehow we think it's okay to be late to our appointments, to cancel our appointments, to not, you know, RSVP, we don't care. In fact, I cannot think of a single person in the universe who is treated worse than God. It's really an amazing thing when you think about it. I was talking to a man on the airplane. He was from India. And I asked him, do you have a relationship with God? He said, well, not really. I said, do you think that it matters? He said, I suppose. I said, imagine if every day when you come home, your children are playing games, your wife is in the kitchen, and you come, you open the door, and you say, Daddy's home. But nobody cares. How would you feel? He said, I would feel terrible. I said, yeah, that's the way we are with God. God has given us everything. But he's the last person we talk to. I said, isn't that strange? He said, yeah, you're right, that's strange. So I think God is the most mistreated person in the universe. And yet, here's the amazing thing about God. What's so amazing about him? The moment you turn to God, he is right there with open arms. It's an amazing thing. You can neglect God, you can turn away from God. And the moment you turn back to him, he says, I love you. I've been waiting for you. We have so much to talk about. And so I think that we need to have a greater appreciation of who God is. So when you set an appointment with God, my advice is keep it.
So when we set an appointment with God, my advice is keep it.
If you had an appointment with the President of the United States, I think you would be early to that appointment. I think you would probably come a day early to that appointment. You would probably find the nearest hotel to the White House. You would probably walk from the hotel to the White House maybe 5 times to make sure, you know. You want everything to be just perfect. But when we set an appointment with God, well, if it happens, it happens. So we need to change the way we think. The reason why God is the most mistreated person in the universe is ironically, strangely, because he's the most loving person in the universe. Oh, we say, okay, well, I can treat him any way I want. I can ignore him for 3 weeks. And then I come back and he's so nice to me, he loves me, forgives me. So this is how we mistreat God.
But
let me explain something to you. You have to understand that God wants to be with you. His heart is broken when we turn away from Him. People don't understand that about God. The whole purpose of the Bible is to help us understand that God is a person. God made us in His image and gave us feeling and emotion so we can understand Himself, so we can understand God. The Bible says God experiences compassion. It's a real feeling for God. God is not a robot. He's not a program, not a machine. He's a person. And so His heart, His feeling, His emotion, feels for us. And He knows that without a relationship with Him, we will not be joyful. We will not be peaceful. We will not have confidence. We can name many, many things that we need God. So when God feels bad for us, He's looking at our lives without Him. And He's saying, it's so sad. My son, my daughter is trying to live without me. And they will fail. And that's why when we come back to God, He's so happy. Because of His great love for us, because He wants what's best for us. So what is my point? Make an appointment with God. Keep it. There was a great man of God 200 years ago named John Wesley. He was like Billy Graham of his time. Very famous. And he had a meeting with the Queen of England. Actually, he was a king in those days, not a queen, king. And he had dinner. They were having dinner. And the king really enjoyed the meeting with John Wesley. At a certain time, John Wesley said, I have to leave. The king said, no, please stay a little bit longer. You know what John Wesley said? He said, I'm sorry. I have an appointment with another king tomorrow morning. Every morning at 4 o'clock a.m. Every morning. Without fail. John Wesley would get up and spend time with God. It was an appointment. And he refused to not keep that appointment. And so God did amazing, powerful things through the ministry of John Wesley. In fact, some historians say that John Wesley saved England. And what they mean by that is that he kept England from going into revolution. Over in France, you had the stirrings of the French Revolution. But this didn't spread to England. Because a great revival came to England. And so what I want to leave you with is this verse. In James chapter 5. Verse 16. It says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And it talks about Elijah, the prophet Elijah. It says Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed. And the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. One man. Prayed. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. I want you to think about that for one moment. How did Elijah pray, and it did not rain for 3.5 years? Well, because it says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. A righteous man is a friend of God. A priest is a friend of God. God wants you to be his friend. If a very powerful person came to you and said, I want to be your friend, if Bill Gates or Warren Buffett, said, I want to be your friend, you think you would do that? Probably you would. You would consider that a great honor. Why? Because you were thinking, wow, this guy can really help me out a lot. If I need help. It's good to have a friend like that. If you are real friends, you can ask each other anything and you will help each other. God wants to be your friend. And he wants you to have the freedom to ask him for anything.
他希望你有这个自由，可以向他求各种事情。
And the Bible says, if you are a righteous person,
圣经上说，如果你是一个义人，
your prayers will be very powerful and effective.
你的祈祷是大有功效。
And Jesus said this many, many times. It's the most amazing thing that Jesus said.
圣经上有很多，就像耶稣基督说过的，很多次的，非常。
Think of all of the things that Jesus said, and this is the most amazing.
在所有耶稣说过的话里面，真是非常重要和奇妙的。
He said it many, many times to his apostles.
在很多很多的时候，他为他的使徒。
It may be the most repeated thing that Jesus said to his disciples.
或许就是耶稣对他的门徒重复过的最多的话。
What do you think that is?
你认为那是一句什么？
He said, ask whatever you want, and I will do it.
你们求就给你们。
Ask whatever you want, and I will do it.
你们求我就会去做。
When you are a friend of God,
如果你是神的朋友,
that's what happens.
这就是会发生的。
And I think that is the most amazing thing in the entire Bible, in the entire world.
我认为这是圣经里面整本圣经和整个世界上最重要的一件事。
That you can come to a place in your relationship, in your friendship with God.
你可以来到一个地方，你跟神有一个亲密的关系，你跟神的友谊。
That whatever you ask of Him, He will do it.
不管你求什么，他都应允你，他都会去做。
Do you want that in your life?
你希望那件事也发生在你的生活里面吗?
Very simple, make an appointment.
非常简单，就开始。
Are you going to make an appointment?
约会，你会跟神设一个约会。
How many of you are going to make an appointment? Raise your hand.
我们当中有多少人决定这样做，举起你的手。
Okay. I can tell you your future.
我可以告诉你的未来。
It's going to be powerful.
将会是非常有力量。
God will do amazing things through you.
上帝会借着你做很奇妙的事情。
But you have to do something.
但是你需要做的一点点是。
What do you have to do?
你需要做什么呢？
Pray.
Pray, but also keep the appointments.
保持你跟神的聚会的时间。
Amen.
祷告。
Let's pray, Heavenly Father. We come before you.
亲爱的天父，我们来到你的面前。
And we thank you for this encouragement.
我们感谢你给了我们这样的鼓励。
To be prayerful people.
做一个祷告的人。
You called us to be priests.
你呼召我们做你的祭司。
You called us to be your friends.
你呼召我们做你的朋友。
And I pray, Lord, for all of those here who made a commitment.
我为我们在座的每一个人祷告，我们愿意有一个时间来委身于神。
A commitment to make an appointment with you.
就是单单与神相处的时间。
I pray this blessing over them.
我为每一个在我们当中的祝福。
Give them the power.
给他们力量,
give them the strength.
给他们有这个能力,
give them the daily encouragement.
给他们每一天的鼓励,
to keep that appointment with you.
去保守他们与你约定的这个时间。
In Jesus' name we pray.
在奉耶稣基督的名求。
Amen.